Thank you for tuning in to Harvest Christian Fellowship Amarillo Campus Podcast. This week, Pastor Curtis House continues our message series over Ephesians 4 with teaching how the prophetic voice reveals the heart and will of God. For more information, please visit harvestchristianfellowship.org or download our app. Thanks and have a great day.
As we jump into this morning, we're going to be, I'm going to get in your business quick. I'm going to be talking about the prophetic voice. And so some of you have already checked out because you said, he's talking about prophecy and prophesying. This is one of those churches. You know what I'm talking about. You know who you are out there, right? It was one of those churches. But just stay with me because we've actually been talking about the team that God put together for the church. It's Ephesians chapter 4. If you have your Bibles, open them up. You're going to say this with me here in just a moment. And he himself gave some to be what? Apostles. This is known as the fivefold ministry. Church, now we've been through this for the last 3 weeks. You got to have it, right? This is the team that is here to equip the saints for the service of God. The Apostle Paul teaches this. So he gave himself some to be apostles, some to be, I'm asking you, prophets, thank you. Some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So, jumping into this very quickly, a couple of weeks ago, I talked about the apostleship, the gift of apostleship, what apostles look like, what they should look like, and how many self-proclaimed apostles we have out there. Danger there. Today, I'm moving us in another step, or to another step, to another place, another ministry at the table, the prophet. And when I say prophet, I know many times some of us go, oh no. And here's why. Because we have seen people label themselves as prophets who are not prophets at all. You know, it's interesting because even the Greek form of prophet and preacher are very closely related. They speak the word of God to us. It's what a prophet does, and prophets are very essential to the church because they call us back to who and what we were created for. A prophet, a prophetic voice, will reveal the heart and will of God to each and every one of us. The heart and will of God to the church as a whole. So this team that sits at this table should have a prophetic voice that comes forth from them. The Apostle Paul set it up this way, but actually Jesus Christ set it up this way. Now, here's the deal. Many of us have confused the prophetic voice with the voice of condemnation. And this is another reason why we oftentimes don't like people who claim to have the gift of prophecy. Because they step up and they step in, and now they're all about you and your business. Come on, church. You ever had anybody do that? You ever told anyone, mind your own business? Now, most of the time, people are speaking to you in the flesh, but if they're speaking to you in the Spirit, sometimes God reveals things in the Spirit. It's known as revelation, revelatory intuition that tells us this is what's going on. Now, I don't claim to be the prophetic voice. I claim to be a voice from the table, and there are times where the gift of prophecy has distributed some information to me. I'll give you a great example. Years ago, I was walking into a church that I was serving, and there was a greeter at the door, and he handed me a pamphlet, you know, and I was just kind of looking at that, standing in front of me, and I looked at him, and all of a sudden, I got a burden for him. I started hurting in my heart, and I left there. I went to my office, and I started writing some things down. Pornography. Alcoholism, affair. And there were about six or seven things that I listed on a list. And I sat down, I prayed over them for a couple of days. I called the man, asked him if he could come in and meet with me. I called my prayer partner. My prayer partner came in. All three of us sat in my office. And I said, hey, I'm going to read something that I feel like God revealed to me by looking in your eyes last Sunday. And I said the first one, you've never had a drinking problem, but over the last year, for whatever reason, alcohol has become a part of your life. You're not sleeping at night. Your eyes are black. I believe you're looking at something you shouldn't be looking at. I believe you're involved in a physical affair with someone, possibly at your work. And he stopped me right there and he said, I want to know who told you. And I said, well, sir, I saw this in you the other day. I came in my office and I wrote it down. He said, no, you've talked to my wife. I said, I couldn't pick your wife out of the crowd. No, here's the thing. This prophetic voice, I'm not trying to get in your business. I'm trying to tell you that God has a purpose and a plan for your life, and it's not where you are today. And you should be praising God right now for that revelation, because it should steer you in a different direction, a different course than the course you're currently going down. That's only happened to me, by the way, church, just twice in my years of ministry, to that degree, to that extent, to that point. Well, what about you? See, here's the thing. We tend to see the prophetic voice as a voice of condemnation or a voice of foretelling the future. But here's the truth. That voice is not here to condemn. Jesus said these words, I didn't come to condemn the world, but what? To save the world. He's interested in your salvation. He's interested in what's best for you. And so the prophetic voice oftentimes is a voice that is speaking us into us to move us along in His direction for His gifts, for His purpose, for the equipping of the saints for service. Proverbs 29:18 says this, where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint. So let's just say it this way. Now, that's the ESV. If you're looking at the New American Standard, you look at the King James Version, where there is no vision, the people perish. But in the ESV, it says where there is no prophetic vision. A prophetic vision oftentimes sets boundaries on our belief system. It sets boundaries on how we should act or the direction that we're going. You may not like that because you may say, well, I want to be free in Christ. I want to be free in the United States of America. I don't want to conform because conformity is the opposite of freedom. But hang on. All right, conformity is not necessarily the opposite of freedom. In my household, when my children disobey the rules, and there are rules, for instance, you will not slam a door in my house. I don't like it. To me, it's disrespectful. You're tearing up property that daddy goes hard to work for. You know what I mean? You're slamming a door in here or on the car or anything else. So you break a rule. So conformity does not necessarily restrict your freedom. It helps you understand our values. And there are values that in our household that we're trying to uphold. When a house goes out, my last name is House. When someone leaves our house with that name, House, okay, then I have an expectation that our values would be seen wherever they're going. Not a value of disobedience and disrespect. No, see, a prophetic voice will call us back into, this is Jesus' way for your life, and it's the best thing for your life. Children don't know the best thing for their life. Children just think, I want to rebel at times. And so a parent comes in and does what? Ain't happening. It's not for your good that you stay out till 12:05. My dad used to tell me this all the time, nothing good ever happens after midnight. So I go off to college, my first year, and I stay down there till, I'm really enjoying it. Matter of fact, I enjoyed it too much my freshman year. I had a scholarship and managed to blow that. But I was down at college. I came back at Christmas, and I was grown up. I was good to go. So I go out one night, and I stay out till about 12:15, 12:30. And I'm driving home, and I'm 15 miles from town, and I meet my dad on the dirt road, goes right by me. And you know, the kid in me goes, uh-oh, I know it's late. And I saw those lights turn around. And here they come in behind me. So I pull off the side of the road, and Dad gets out, and he walked up my window. He said, son, what time are you supposed to be at the house? And I said, Dad, I'm a grown man now. And he said, where are you staying tonight, son? And he said, in my house we have rules. Sometimes the prophetic voice is that voice that says, hey, in God's house it looks like this so that your light can shine that much brighter. A prophetic voice is going to speak that truth to you because oftentimes we can't see it. Let's be honest, we're not always walking according to the Spirit. Sometimes the flesh gets involved. It happens. So yes, the prophetic voice can carry a warning and a voice of correction. And you may ask, where's the love in that? But the love is in the correction. The scripture tells us God disciplines those whom he hates. Yeah, that's not what it says. Those whom he loves. There's correction. There are boundaries. There are some things that bring us life that sometimes we don't realize bring us life. So I'm going to take you through basically seven truths of the prophetic voice this morning. And we'll move through them quickly, so don't just say, uh-oh, he's on number what? Okay? Stay with me as we go through these. The first thing I would say, the prophetic voice lays foundations and benchmarks. When you look at the church at Ephesus, the church we've been talking about, Ephesians chapter 4, if you drop that back a couple of chapters to Ephesians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul says, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, speaking of the church here, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. The prophetic voice is similar to the apostolic voice in this fact that it lays foundations and it lays benchmarks for the church. It gives direction. It forms a target out there that we can hit that target. If I were here today to tell you that I believe this is all God has for us here on South Bonham Street, in this building with limited parking, with a Hoover van that takes people from over here at the elementary school every Sunday morning to here so that we can provide more parking spaces for you, and this is as good as it's ever going to get, that's a terrible prophetic voice, because Jesus has given us a mandate, not just the Great Commission, because sometimes we substitute omission for commission, but Jesus has given us a mandate to go into all the world and make disciples. A prophetic voice is going to say, we've got a target to hit, folks. We've got to make an impact. We've got to be the difference in people's lives, and the way we do that is we build up the church on Jesus Christ himself, on a God who is a God of love, and we learn to love God and love one another. It's a benchmark. It's a foundation. It's how we're built. The prophetic voice releases power. I'm going to be in 1 Kings and 2 Kings real quick, but I want you to see some things. In 1 Kings, we have this great prophet. Most of you have heard of him. His name's Elijah. I like Elijah, man. He just called down fire on people. What you got a problem with God? Bam! They were smoked. 1 Kings chapter 17, this is Elijah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead said to Ahab. So Ahab is the king here. Now Ahab is married to Jezebel. You've probably heard of the Jezebel spirit out there. So there's already a people here who are not walking in accordance with God, his rules, his regulations, most importantly, his love. And so they're going out and they're killing all of the Lord's prophets. And you remember there's another man that shows up and he actually hides 50 prophets over in one cave and 50 prophets over in another cave, because this king and this queen are such bad people. And eventually what happens here is we see Elijah go before the king, King Ahab, and he says these words, "As the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years except at my word." See, he's saying, it's my word. Elijah didn't predict a drought like a weatherman. He loosed a drought, and it wasn't going to stop until he said it would stop, until he said it's going to rain. The prophet will release God's power into the situation. He can loose it. There's dynamic spiritual power behind the word of a true prophet. It will line up with the word of God, of course, but it's strong. It's right there. It's that word that sometimes is spoken to you that it's all that you have. The doctor said, we can't do anything about it. This is as good as it's going to be for you. You've got this much time before your time on this earth is over. And it's that prophetic word that speaks life into you that says, no, what doctors can't, God can. You hold on to the truth. By His stripes, you are healed. And maybe it's that word that carries you through in 3 years, 5 years, 7 years, 10 years, 15, 17 years for my mother when she was given 1 to 3 years to live. I'm going to hold on to this one. That's a man of God. And he just spoke truth into my life. It has power. The prophetic voice leads us to value God's presence. In 2 Kings, so we go from 1 Kings to 2 Kings. Now, this is not Elijah, this is Elisha. So there's a little something that happened here. There's a man that followed Elijah, the prophet, around everywhere he went. Matter of fact, I think he kind of aggravated and irritated him some, but this man saw God's hand upon Elijah. And this man's name was closely related. It was Elisha. And Elisha followed him around. He witnessed some things that was going on with Elijah. He said, this guy has the power of God coming all over him. And as a matter of fact, before Elijah left this earth, he asked Elisha, what is it that you want from me? And he said, not much. I'm just kidding. He said, I want 2.5 times what you have. Now, that's a bold young man. That's a young man that says, you know what? You're powerful. I saw you smoke some guys up there on the mountain. I've seen you hold back rain. I just want 2.5 times of that. Church, listen, we do not have because we do not ask, is what the Scripture says. This young man was bold enough to ask, and he received. So you've got another prophet, 2 Kings. And he says this in verse 15, he says, 2 Kings 3:15, but now bring me a musician. And when the musician played, the hand of the Lord came upon him. See, Elisha would not minister the word of the Lord until the hand of the Lord came upon him, until God's presence was upon him, where he knew that, okay, I'm in the Spirit of God. And because I'm in the Spirit of God, I'm a prophet of the Lord. Now I can speak. And that happened through worship. I want to encourage you this morning, if you're not a worshiper, learn to find God's presence. Learn to be in the presence of God, because as you're in the presence of God, He is speaking. And we need people to hear and recognize their gift. If they know their gift, then they can speak life and edification into someone else, into the one who needs it. See, he learned that from watching Elijah. Elijah's a powerful man of God, but he had to be a worshiper. And Elisha said, I'm not going to strike out on my own. I'm going to wait until the hand of God dances upon me. And when that happens, get ready. I've got a word. I'll have a word. You see, the prophetic teaches us to recognize God's presence, how to cooperate with Him. Elisha was taught this through Elijah, of course. And many times through prayer in the presence of God, we receive a prophetic word. And this word gives us focus. It takes us into deeper waters with Jesus. The prophetic voice gives us spiritual insight. Duh. Jeez, we just well go to the next one, because who doesn't know that? If it's a prophetic word from God, of course it should give us what? Spiritual insight. If it's not spiritual, it's not a prophet. And we do live in a day and time where the prophetic word has been abused. It's padded pocketbooks instead of added numbers to churches. This is Prophet so-and-so, and Prophet so-and-so is going to bring us the word of God. Just write your pens to the music. Write your checks. Use your pens to write the checks to the sound of the music. Because the more we pay, the more he plays. Come on. We've got to be careful with it, of course, but it should take us to a place of spiritual insight, true spiritual insight. In 2 Kings chapter 6, he said, do not be afraid, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Let me just kind of give you some backdrop of what's going on. Once again, you've got Elisha here. And Elisha has found himself in a world of hurt, a world of trouble. Even though he's a prophet, you don't know it at this time, because the enemy is far greater than himself. And he's got an assistant that's going around with him. He's got a guy that's kind of following him. And this guy says, hey, I don't know if you're aware of this, Elisha, but if you look out there, there are a lot of people that don't like us. And they have swords, and they are ready to take our lives. And Elisha says, let's pray. It's a good time to pray when the enemy is right outside your door and there's a whole lot of them. Let's pray. Oh Lord, please open his eyes that he may see. So the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots and fire all around Elisha. The prophet can oftentimes see into the spiritual, beyond the physical. The prophetic voice reveals the nature of the spiritual fight that we are in. It helps us to go beyond the natural into the spiritual. You know, I praise God for prophetic voices in my life that have changed the course of my life. In this very instance, when I look at seeing into the spiritual, giving me spiritual insight, there was a time when I was leaving happy and going to Wolforth. But before that happened, I was asked three times by a district superintendent, "Curtis, we need you to take this church in Wolforth. Will you go?" And I said, "Absolutely not. I'm not going to Lubbock." I said, "Let me just help you, okay?" I told the conference when I came to Happy, "This is as far south as I will ever go. You can send me north all the way to Alaska. Matter of fact, I prefer you do that. But do not send me beyond Happy, Texas, going south. And if I ever wind up in Lubbock, you just sent me to hell." Now, if you're from Lubbock, I learned to love Lubbock, and I don't think it's hell. But I can remember I got that call asking me to go to Wolforth, Friendship School District, if that makes more sense to you, Southwest Lubbock, to go take this church that was struggling. And I was asking, I said, "Absolutely not." I was asked a second time, I said, "Did you not hear me the first time?" I was asked a third time, and I said, "I am not going." And then the prophetic voice makes me so angry. Get a phone call one morning early, 5 o'clock. "Curtis, you been praying?" "Yeah, I've been praying. What's up?" "My prayer partner, hey, the Lord just told me you're going to be going." I said, "I'm never leaving Happy, Texas. I love Happy, Texas. Happy, Texas is home to me. I'm a country boy. Church is doing great, doing fine. I love the people in this community." "Yeah, well, you're going." "Okay, we'll see you. I'll talk to you tomorrow." Hang up. Driving home from the cell barn in Amarillo. Worked all day. Coming home, and this car passes me. Galaxy 500. It was halfway to Happy when it left Canyon. You know what I'm talking about? Like a 1972, 73 Galaxy 500, something like that. On the back windshield, it had Isaiah 6:8. It said, "Here I am, Lord, send me." I was like, "Man, what? Lord, are you trying to say something? I am not leaving. Is anybody listening to me?" The next day, that was a Monday back when the sale barn in Amarillo was on a Monday. Tuesday, the sale was at Tulia, so I went to work the Tulia sale. I'm riding pinback cattle, and my cowboy boss rides up next to me as a woman, and she said, "Curtis, there's a phone call for you here. This guy wants to talk to you." I answer the phone. I know his name. I don't know the man. Hadn't talked to him three times my whole life. And he says, "Hey, Curtis, I don't know. I was in prayer this morning. The Lord put you on my heart. And Isaiah 6:8 came to mind. Here I am, Lord, send me." "Yeah, well, you got the wrong Curtis. You don't even know me. I got to put some cattle back." Right? That's what it does. It contains power to change the direction, oftentimes the course in our life, to get us where we're supposed to be for the season we're in. See, many have been called to ministry. Many have been called to use their gifts. But here's the thing. If we're not careful, we'll miss our season. The opportunity of a lifetime only lasts the lifetime of opportunity. So we've got to get on board with what God's saying. The prophetic voice leads us to value God's presence. It's just like we said, "Hey, bring me a musician. I've got to hear the voice of God." And then we go to insight. In His presence, we gain insight. And then it gives us words to fight with. 1 Timothy 1:18, "This charge I commit to you." This is the Apostle Paul writing to his son Timothy. "According to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you wage the good warfare." Good warfare. Sometimes you need a prophetic word to fight with. Has anyone said, "Hey, why don't you read this passage of Scripture? I feel like this is for you." And you see what the Lord has revealed, not only to this prophetic voice, but to you. And it's a word that you can hold on to. Words to fight with. I praise God for those words in my life. When a prophetic word is given to you, it becomes a weapon to fight against opposition in your life. There are wars oftentimes that we don't even realize we're fighting, and we're trying to fight them in the flesh. And the Lord's saying, if you'll just get my spirit within you, if you'll just listen to what I'm trying to say, I will take down the walls of Jericho for you. You will walk into the promised land, but you're going to have to win this with a spiritual word, not a physical word. The prophetic voice gives us strength and courage. Just as you get a word to fight with, you gain strength and courage. I was in North Africa a few years ago. I remember the missionary telling us there, hey, guys, you need to pray tonight. Matter of fact, all of you need to call home. The only way we could call home from that place in the northern Sahara Desert was with a sat phone. He said, each one of you take a couple minutes and talk to your families. It's imperative that you get your prayer teams back home to pray for us, because we're going to a place that has never seen Christians, much less Americans. 99.9% Muslim. And you're about to step foot on their turf, in their ground, for the next 10 to 14 days. And you'll live among them. He said, of all the places that I've witnessed, I've never witnessed one so spiritually dark. I still pray for that place today, and I remember asking God for a word. Don't do this. I shared this before. So I looked around and looked at the team of six, and a couple of them were like, how in the world did you get us in this mess? I'm like, look, it ain't me, it's that guy. And I went back to the Kasbah, and I flipped open my Bible, and it fell to Psalm 91. Though 1,000 may fall, though 10,000 may fall at your right hand, you will not perish. And how we would rest under the power of His almighty wing. It was just a beautiful picture, a beautiful sight for God to say, I know right where you are. I know what you're doing. I called you here. This is your season. And guess what? It's their season. You're going to express love like they've never seen before. Hearts are going to be changed. They're going to be transformed. They're going to be reconditioned and repositioned, because you have come during your season of life right here where I wanted and needed you to be for my kingdom. I hung on to that prophet. You know what? I was concerned I wouldn't sleep that night. I slept like a baby. Let's go. The Lord just showed me His word. See, it gives us strength. It gives us courage. It speaks to us. 100% of the time, look, prophetic words are given for our rebuilding, our upbuilding, our encouragement, our consolation. And finally, the prophetic voice imparts spiritual gifts. Now, don't let that scare you. I had a man one time tell me, he said, Curtis, I'm supposed to pray over you because I know a spiritual gift that you are to contain. Now, if you know anything about me, you might know that in the spiritual gift testing portion that I have to go through about once every couple years, because I'm a pastor and they have to make sure that I'm sane. Okay, so I take a spiritual gifting test. My lowest, I know it's hard for you to imagine this honestly, my lowest is mercy. I can't even get it up above the line. I can't even get it past the first line. And so I've tried to work on my spiritual gift of mercy. I mean, that's a big part of God. I mean, David said, hey, rather than the judgment of God, I depend upon the mercy of God. So it's a problem. So I've been working. I've tried. And this guy, this is what he told me. He said, but I'm going to tell you something, Curtis. You have the gift of edification, and it's time for you to start using it. And I thought, man, I don't even know what that means. I'm going to have to go look that word up. Right? It's to build up. It's the equipping. That's what it's for. And I began to focus on that spiritual gift, and it's helped me in my relationships. It doesn't look like it, but it has. Romans 1:11, for I long to see you that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you. A true prophetic voice can discern a spiritual gift God wants to give and then pray for you to receive it. I think back, many of you know Buddy Young. Some of you are at WT now. He's the Baptist BSM student director there. That man, I get a call one night and he asked me, he says, Actually, he didn't ask me. A woman by the name of Coloma Amaguer. She was my physics study partner. As a matter of fact, had it not been for Coloma, I wouldn't have made it. Bless God for Coloma. And she was a part, actually, of the Catholic ministry services. But Coloma at that time was working with the BSM through the Catholic. I don't know how it all tied together, but she called me one night after midnight. I didn't even answer the phone in my apartment. At that time, I was not in a good place in my life. I was living in HUD housing. The government was paying for my place. And they didn't provide a very nice one at that. My phone started ringing, and she left a message. She said, "Curtis, hey, we need drivers to go on a mission trip, South Padre Island, over spring break." And I remember going, man, that's my kind of mission trip. College students going spring break to the beach. I've never done that. Let's load up. I called her back and I said, "Hey, I go down there. We have a wonderful time. I watch these kids that are so passionate for Jesus. I'm like, man, I am lost. These people are for real. They are serious. They are witnessing. They're sharing their faith." And finally, I'm driving back and Buddy Young sitting over here in the chair next to me, or in the seat next to me. And he looks at me as I'm driving. He goes, "Curtis, what are you called to do in your life?" I said, "Well, I'll be going back in the Army here in the next few months. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to retire, man. By the time I'm 40, I'm good to go. I'm G to G." And he said, "No, that is not what you are supposed to do." He said, "You're not supposed to go back in the service. You need to figure out a way to get out, because I see the gifting and the gift set that you have. And I'm going to start discipling you." And this is what he told me. He said, "I will sit with you each week, and you're going to memorize so many scriptures each week. And the week that you don't have them memorized is the week that we stop meeting together." And I went, I like this guy. This guy's speaking some truth. This guy's for real. And he spoke into my life. See, the prophetic voice changed. It imparted to me my spiritual gifts. He started working with me. He allowed me to teach when I had no business teaching. Buddy said, "Put a message together. You're going to bring it to my leadership team. You bring it on leadership. I want to know what you know. I want to see what you can do. I'm going to speak some truth. I'm going to help correct you while you're teaching." It's what all of us want, right? I know it's not. But it imparted truth in my life, and it changed the course of my life. You see, he imparted some things to me. I learned from that man. Matthew 10:41, Jesus said it this way: "Receive a prophet in the name of a prophet, and receive a prophet's reward." There is a reward to receive a true prophet in Jesus' name. There is a reward, and that reward may be the truth that you need spoken to you in the season of life that you're in. Well, it hurts me to think that there are churches that do not have the prophetic voice in them. We've got to have the prophetic voice. The Apostle Paul said, "Above all gifts, all things that you could ask for the gift of prophecy." Because he knew that when the word of the Lord goes forth, remember that word is very similar to the word preach in the Greek, to proclaim God's word. Scripture goes on to say, "Do any of you have the gift of prophecy? Then let him prophesy." The Lord is at work. The Lord is willing. The Lord knows your need. You may be struggling this morning, maybe in your marriage, maybe in your relationships, maybe in your grades, maybe in your walk with God. Maybe you're struggling with some thoughts, with some things. Maybe you just need to hear the voice of God in the midst of the storm. You know, Jesus can be difficult to recognize in the storm, church. I mean, even the disciples said, "Lord, is that you?" And you need to hear that prophetic word come through and say, "That's him. Go to him." You may need that word this morning. The prophetic community ultimately will draw people to an encounter with God. And that's what we're here for, to encounter God. So if you need prayer for anything this morning, I believe the prophetic voice of God is in this place, ready and willing to speak to you where you are for what you need, to impart to you whatever it may be for this season of your life. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you, Lord Jesus. I thank you for the gifts of the Spirit. I thank you, Lord, that there's the apostolic and the prophetic voice that calls us back to who you are. The Lord Jesus that corrects, that affirms, reestablishes, and oftentimes redirects for the purpose of your kingdom. So may your kingdom come in our lives and your will be done. Use the prophetic in Jesus' name. Amen.